This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Tuesday, 27th of September, 2022. Markets in a pretty wobbly session again yesterday, and we're exactly touching down at those cycle lows. If you look at the S&P 500 index, in the U.S. at 36.57, which is the level on the December future. Your cash levels will be different. Depends on what you're trading, of course, or the SPY if you're trading the ETF. But that level, for whatever reason, providing the bottom for now, we saw a big additional spike in U.S. yields and the dollar going up with that as well. But for whatever reason, sentiment improving a bit overnight, maybe the market trying to hope this was the worst for now. We've talked about really weak sentiment, the VIX curve inversion. I really don't have any sense of visibility here whether we're going to bounce or have some more selling first. But for now, it looks like the market is trying to do a what some call a Tuesday turnaround. There was that pattern in the market at one point back some months ago. Peter, what are your thoughts here as you look at this market?
Yeah, Tuesday turnaround, turnaround Tuesday. It's a funny expression. It certainly feels like the mood is a little bit different coming into the session this morning. We are up a percent in the S&P 500 futures, as you also show on slide two there. I would say the overall picture is a sense of nervousness. I mean, if you scan across very experienced and seasoned portfolio managers, former fixed income traders, etc., on Twitter last night, you can just they all provide the same insights and picture that things are really crazy. They feel pretty crazy. We're definitely in the tail in terms of the market environment. And if you look at on slide three, you can see that the inversion in the VIX curve has intensified, and we are reaching some levels where I think we're getting close to that that switch where either we spill into a meltdown scenario where we take out some serious levels and we have a liquidity event that drives us down, I don't know, 3-5% lower from here in a short fashion, or things stabilize here, the dollar is coming down and yields are coming down, and then equities will snap back and have a short term rally. So I think we are potentially in a very binary scenario. And I would say on a positive note, yesterday on slide four, the Chicago Fed National Activity Index has shown shows that the U.S. economy is actually now stabilizing for the third straight month around that zero level, which indicates trend growth. We all know that the leading indicators are pointing in a very different trajectory, namely a recession within the next 6 to 8 months. So, but for now, the U.S. economy is actually hanging in there at a pretty decent activity level.
Yeah, I've got some further thoughts on that, looking at the consumer confidence survey up today, but Ola, one thing the markets are worried about, and if we look at over commodities, of course, it's been about the strong dollar, and you're saying it really is all about the dollar, but maybe to some degree, the oil prices that we've seen coming down to some pretty remarkable levels have to do as well with a bit on the demand side and then fears about the strength of this economy.
Yeah, well, commodities are coming down. They're coming down pretty hard right now, and that's obviously taking some of the sting out of the inflationary pressures, which eventually may help solve the situation and stabilize bond yields. But I just put in on slide seven just for clarification, just to get an idea about this correction we've seen. It's getting quite aggressive now, it also highlights the fact that we're still up on the year. Just indicates what a phenomenal rally we had at the beginning of the year, since we can take these kind of corrections and still be up on the years on the index. But just the as you can see, it's the metal space has been hit the hardest, and the food commodities has so far done somewhat better. Still all down, but I just took out just highlight something like coffee, which we've been talking about from time to time, because it is a market where there's no doubt there is a very, very tight supply situation out there. But at the same time, the market is caught up in the macroeconomic headwinds with a slowdown in growth, potentially leading to a slowdown in demand, and that's why the market is been. Some of these markets have been hit pretty badly. Coffee is managing to hold up because the supply outlook remains very tight. And that's what we will see. Once the dust settles, some of these markets will recover quite strongly, because the supply outlook is still one that remains tight across some of these commodities. And that's really what we need to wait for. But for now, the dollar and this surging yield is, it really holds the key. China is obviously still a key instrument, key reason for the weakness as well. But the dollar is just all over this this market right now.
Yeah, and then we, you know, speaking of energy, we do have a hurricane on the way to the U.S. This one aimed at, looks like potentially, and that would be the worst case, the St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay area. Very low-lying coastal areas there. It makes massive difference whether it hits 100 kilometers this way, 100 kilometers that way. But this could be one of those multi-tens of billions of dollar storms if it's properly strong and unfortunately hits one of these populated areas. But it is not heading into it's the weak side of the storm is the side of the storm facing all of the production facility areas out in the Gulf, which is mostly offshore of Louisiana, especially. So not a big concern there for oil, but oil prices, as I said, really it's hitting some remarkable levels, supposedly the levels where they start refilling the strategic petroleum reserve in the U.S., but I guess they're still busy releasing that.
Yeah, what we're seeing here is obviously a major relief for Biden ahead of the midterms. Gasoline prices are coming down pretty hard right now. And as you said, WTI below $80. I think the big question now in the oil market really is the still the macro versus micro battle. We're here on slide 8. I just put in the WTI chart. As you can see, we really have lost a lot of ground recently. And the question is right now, what will happen to future production initiatives, because this is obviously not helping the investment outlook for future production, which could leave us in a hot spot down the line. But also, at what level will OPEC Plus step in and cut production? Because that they have already said that they're looking at that, and that probably also helps stabilize the market. But the small bounce today, just the fact that some of the oil sites has been evacuated just as a precautionary measure, and that that could see a small slowdown in production, at least in the short term.
All right, Ola, you're a very busy man, so you jump out of the studio to your next commitment, and we'll continue here. Okay, so let's rewind a bit to one of the issues that really got market volatility. I think it was even aggravating the broader market sentiment situation, and that was and we're doing a poor job on the sequential bits here on the slides, but go to slide 6, and we don't have specifically a sterling chart, but sterling has stabilized. I must say the response from the Bank of England I found extremely lacking. I think sterling has only stabilized a bit simply because risk sentiment has stabilized a little bit. But Bank of England issuing a statement yesterday saying along lines that'll do what it takes to stabilize the currency, but then Governor Bailey out with, no surprise here, a tone deaf, well, we'll assess the sterling situation at the next meeting. I find the response very lacking. If the Bank of England is extremely lucky, we get a period here where U.S. yields ease up, and that general easing up on the yields pressure would help to ease the pressure on sterling just for a time. I don't think we've reached the peak of the situation for sterling necessarily, but yeah, lacking. So sterling still at risk, but I think maybe only at risk if we get another turn in general market sentiment. And then I just show on slide 6 that, you know, the scale of some of these moves against the less liquid currencies when that dollar spiked higher yesterday, dollar Canada ripping all the way to 138 plus and is already back down to more than a figure and a half as I snapped that chart this morning. But you can see how deeply it could retrace and still be well into an uptrend here. So just the volatility remarkable. With the U.S. yields ripping close to 4% on the 10-year now, I think we reached 3.928 yesterday. That has further pressure fundamentally on, at least, against the Japanese yen. But it's still stuck in the range, even though it's sort of bumping a bit higher towards 145 at times. Really curious if the market mounts another attack on the Bank of Japan, given that added pressure. And the overall dollar reading, as you can see on our FX board there, is at a staggering 8.5. This is a kind of territory you very rarely get to on that strength reading. Then I just winding back to something I mentioned earlier, and I think it's interesting relative to what you said, Peter, on the on where we are with the Chicago Fed National Activity Index dropping towards zero. So you can see the direction of travel is seems to be a bit negative there. And we know that the leading indicators are tilting down into negative territory. And I think the argument is it's around 6 to 9 months in negative territory before that really gets starting to get picked up by markets traditionally and showing it in the economy as well in terms of an actual recession afoot. But I just another way to look at where we are in the cycle is the consumer confidence survey in the U.S., which in a lot of ways tracks the labor market, but still look at it on slide five, where I pull apart the, I don't show the overall index at all, simply pulling apart the present situation in black and the expectations in blue. And the red line is the spread. So the interesting thing being that you can see the very typical widening of that spread between expectations as they start to deteriorate relative to a very, very strong present conditions. And at whatever rollover point is right around the time when markets are moving into a recession. And clearly we were getting there and we were probably essentially there and ready to roll over. And then the pandemic hit, causing this bizarre cycle with overstimulus, et cetera. And now we're back down towards those cycle lows in terms of the spread. So the interesting thing will be the inflection point at which that starts to rise, that spread back towards zero, suggesting that the present situation is beginning to deteriorate. So that'll be the thing, to sort of the reality on the ground. And I would suspect that to see that, we would have to see rising jobless claims and something in the labor market and otherwise that is suggesting things are really starting to, the brakes are really starting to get slammed on this economy. And again, that may not be the case until well into next year. But that's a big picture. So we'll see where that figure is later today at 2 o'clock GMT. Peter, back over to you. Where is your focus in this market? We've already talked a little bit about the earnings coming up this week, but what do you focus on most here?
Well, I think when you have a market like this, it's you just have to. I tend to zoom out and I tend to zoom on the on the broad indices. There are, in terms of the themes, it's still the same patterns that we are seeing. It's the high beta, high growth are still doing bad. You know, something like the value complex, the high dividend stocks are still doing well. We mentioned yesterday this India. There was a great article in the FT actually that there are, you know, the group of seven, they call it the seven wonders right now. Countries like Indonesia, Vietnam, India, Portugal, Greece. And Japan, and then Saudi Arabia. These seven countries are right now outliers when you compare across all countries on inflation and their stock market performance. So, and I think that we talked about yesterday with Apple Signal doing manufacturing in India. I think it's actually a big story, and there is something definitely brewing there in the emerging markets. But otherwise, it's still on the earnings front, it's very light. We have the Porsche pricing of their IPO tomorrow. And then on Thursday, it is that big day with H&M and Nike earnings and Micron Technology, as we highlight on slide nine. And I don't want to go into a spiel on Micron Technology again, because we talked about it on yesterday's podcast. So you can listen to what we think in that podcast episode. But yeah, so otherwise, it's just, I think it's helmets on, because it is really a nervous market, John.
Yeah, it is. And interesting as well, if we look down to the macro calendar on slide 10, we have the Bank of England chief economist Pill out speaking this, this morning GMT, really the early afternoon for us in mainland Europe. And, does he have a slightly different way of approaching this crisis we have in sterling? Obviously, it's going to feed into higher inflation risks. How does he sort of position that, and whatever he's saying today, I think is interesting. Fed Chair Powell out speaking, but it's in the context of some comments or a conference on digital currencies, so not expecting any policy signals there. And then a few interesting bits and pieces. So we already covered the September consumer confidence up later. We have the new home sales. I wouldn't expect those to be great, but that's a volatile data series. And then a five-year treasury auction. Quite interesting to test these treasury markets with these auctions. As we saw yesterday, the demand was surprisingly low for the two-year auction, given that where the yields are now relative to the prior auction, which was on the order of 100 basis points lower. So it was orderly. It was around the same metrics as the prior auction, but it was interesting that there wasn't increased demand, safe haven or otherwise, for treasuries in this market. So 5-year today and a 7-year up tomorrow, and the PCE inflation on Friday is the final big data point of the week from the U.S. So, yeah, it's an interesting market. It's very touchy times. Again, the risk is two-way. We could have a sharp rally if there's just a clearing in sentiment, and sentiment has gone overboard to the negative side, or we can have an intensification, liquidity-driven, aggravated sell-off. We're likely getting to the end of that if that is what we're going to see simply from a time function, but we have to be careful from an amplitude function once these yield curves the VIX forward volatility curve, once it inverts, it often is a very compressed situation in terms of time, but not necessarily in terms of price, as poor liquidity can lead to disorderly moves. So with that in mind, stay very careful out there. Have a great one, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.